We're going to look at verse 38 through 42. We're going to finish this section off. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42. 42 is where we're going to rest our hat today. You have heard that it have been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go him out, go with him twain. And whosoever, give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Let me read that again. Verse 42. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. That's radical stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I honestly, if you go online, I change the series title to Radical Living. Today we're going to talk about fanatical giving. Father, thank you in advance. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the word of God. Just coming out in song, coming out in the prayers, just coming out as your people gather together and love. We continue to pray for our family. Especially we pray right now for Shirley and Mary and Paula, who are just members of this church and their loss. And we just continue to call on you to strengthen them, give them strength and courage, give them wisdom. Keep them united and in love with each other. Because this is really a wonderful time. This is a wonderful time. So we ask that you would just be with the church. And then all of us who are reminded. When someone dies, we're all reminded. We all have buried loved ones. And some of us may be feeling some kind of way. Give us strength. Give us strength. Pray for my aunt who we buried her husband of 49 years on Friday. We continue to pray for her and her family. So death is all around us. And it ain't going nowhere. And we just pray right now that we have strength to face it. Because as the song was saying, we have the victory.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I am. Let's look at this study of the Sermon on the Mount. We've covered these 42 verses, and we've been in it since October. I'm pretty sure we'll probably be here toward the end of the year.
Amen.
We'll be
Amen.
Going verse by verse through Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Great preaching, because it's preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived in the person of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we're not making up anything. I'm not trying to veer to the right or to the left. I'm just trying to cut it straight. Uh-huh. But The whole theme of Matthew chapter 5 through 7 of the Sermon on the Mount is who are you in Christ? Who are you? Are you who you should be as a child of God? And I believe Jesus is saying, are you compassionate? Are you caring? Are you kind? Are you loving? All these things are found in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. All these aren't things that you ought to strive for. These are the things you ought to have. Amen. When you are a child of God, you are saved, you are filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, these things come. We talk about it on Wednesday. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control. All these things you get. They're growing on you. They ought to be evidence to a fallen world. When they see a child of God, they ought to see the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is talking about that.
Amen.
But on Friday, I was at this funeral, and all of Camel was there. Uh-oh. Other than Ann. Ann was the only person from Camel that wasn't there. Jake, you from Cameron?
Me?
And wasn't there. All of Cameron was there. They had overflow. They had people in the hallways. And here's a man laying here that has been to church one time in 49 years. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I know funerals is you want to be comforting to the family.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But some things just don't need to be said.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, folks. Don't let no preacher tell you that it don't mean nothing that you go to church. The church don't matter. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Okay? That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. Matter of fact, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10:25, says, let us not forsake the assembly of yourself together. It's a command by the scriptures that we gather together in the God's house.
Amen.
The word of God says here, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. There ought to be a hunger attached to someone that's heaven-bound.
Amen.
A heaven-bound person desires the word of God. And that should be found in God's house. And if you're not finding it here, find it somewhere. But do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Now, a scripture he used, and I'm just going to touch this because this needs to be said. See, I don't have to say this, Bob. I don't have to say this on Wednesday when Larry, when we do a memorial for Larry. I don't have to say this. Okay? Because Larry said it right there next where Randy's at and heard the gospel.
Amen.
I know he heard the gospel because I know I preached it.
Amen.
And I know he heard it, and I know he was convicted, I know he was confronted, and I remember him raising his hand and saying, I want to be baptized. And when we baptized him, he made a public confession.
Yes, he did.
That Jesus Christ was Lord, and he had accepted that, and we baptized him. Now, he didn't want to go down. It was the most frightening baptism that I had ever been a part of. Because Larry went down and the water went right to his neck and he was trying to go all the way under. And Deacon Nails was here at the time and Larry touched the bottom. So I know Larry. Looking for Deacon Nails. I know they laughing about that. Listen, the man of God, the preacher on that Friday said this. And y'all heard me preach this, and I'm going to preach it now. If I might not get to my message today, I'm just feeling some kind of way. Because when you got overflowing crowds, they need to hear gospel.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
They need to hear the gospel. You cannot drop the ball. You don't even know why I say that? Because I was saved at a funeral.
Uh-huh.
See, I was saying, I take serious.
Amen.
Okay? All right, this that came. Because these folks, this may be that one time in 49 years, they need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Now listen. He said, well, you know, the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross didn't go to church, didn't get baptized, didn't get saved, didn't do anything. He was just ushered into the kingdom. That's a lie from the pits
Amen.
Of hell.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's a lie from the pits of hell. And y'all know Mark 1 says that when John the Baptist was there, all Judea was baptized.
Right.
They all
Amen.
Heard the word of God. But even in Luke 23, let me take you here because I have to. Because I have to. Now these two thieves on the cross, only one of them got saved. Only one of them is in heaven. The other one is in hell.
Amen.
Okay? Now, in Luke 23 and 40, or 39, it says, and one of the malefactors which were railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.
Mm.
But the other, the one that's in heaven, let me tell you, here's the steps of salvation. He went through the progression of salvation. He went through the steps. Listen, folks, this is like decon. Y'all know what decon is? It's like mouse poisoning. And what the mouse do, the mouse go in there and get that decon. And he takes it back to his loved ones and his family and feeds them. Then he regurgitates and feeds it to all the little mouses.
Uh-huh.
And all of the mouses die. See, the word of God is like a spiritual decon. You need to get it, okay? You get it, take it, regurgitate it, tell your loved ones and friends about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, you have a responsibility. This is why we do this. Don't let your loved ones perish. But the other, rebuked him. Now here's a picture of someone turning their backs to the world. Okay? He rebukes his friend. He rebukes his old lifestyle. See, when you get saved, you got to turn. And he's rebuking his old lifestyle. And he's saying, "Does not thou fear God?" He is telling them, listen, there is a God. There is a God, and we are about to be judged. Uh-huh. And then he says, that seeing thou art in the same condemnation, we can be about to die. Uh-huh. Now here's the second step of salvation. He made a confession of his sins. Okay? He said, and we indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds or our sins. Uh-huh. Okay? Don't miss that. This is what you have to do to receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, to go to heaven. You have to make a public confession of your sins. I'm a sinner, and I deserve to die. But this man have done nothing amiss. Then you have to realize that there's only one person that can save you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You have to recognize that Jesus Christ is King. He's Lord of Lords. Amen. You recognize that and you accept him as Lord. Listen to what he says. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord. Now, here's the part here too. You got to want to go to heaven. Amen. You got to want to go to heaven. Yeah. You're just not going to drop in heaven. Okay? So you can drop in Walmart, and you can drop in a restaurant without a reservation. Okay, you can just walk in the roadhouse. But you're not going to just walk into heaven. Right. See, everybody in heaven wants to be there. Okay? Now he says this, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me, not us. He didn't turn his back on the world. He said, remember me. Uh-huh. Now he has a personal relationship with the Lord. You're not getting into heaven without a personal relationship with the Lord. Because when you talk to the Lord going to talk back to you.
That's right.
The Lord going to talk back to you. Now he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. See, he's acknowledged him as Lord and with a kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, and I'm going to stop right here. And Jesus said unto him, verily or surely I say unto thee, not both of y'all, thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Let me tell you something, folks. You keep coming here, and we're going to preach this gospel, and we're going to preach it. You might have to hear 150 times before you make a public confession, before you give your life over to us. You have to hear it and hear it and hear it. And you know what? I'm going to preach it and preach it and preach it. And if I'm not up here preaching, these brothers are going to preach it. And y'all let me know if they don't.
Amen.
And if they don't preach it, if Jake is up here preaching, he's going to preach it. If Dave is up here preaching, Brother Elmer, Brother Columbus, whoever called up here to preach the gospel. Can't go wrong.
Amen.
You can't go wrong. Let's get back to our text in Matthew. We talk about that whole Sermon on the Mount. Jesus talking about who you are. Who you are. You ought to be a converted person if you're a child of God. You ought to be a converted person. And when I say converted, that means your life is going to change.
Amen.
Your life is going to change by the gospel. 1 John 2 and 9 puts it like this. He said, if ye know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Okay? The evidence of your spirituality, the evidence of your salvation is that you do it righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your conduct will let folks know who you are. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine. So shine. Before men, before the world. That's not easy. Because the world don't want it. The world like darkness.
Amen.
See, when we was in darkness, folks, when we was in darkness, some of us that remember, some of us say so holy now. But when we was in darkness, we didn't like we didn't want to see no light.
Amen.
Okay, when we was in them clubs and at 2 o'clock they hit the lights, we y'all know the rest of that. Okay. Y'all know the song they used to sing, the freaks come out when?
Yeah.
At night. At night. Listen, let me tell you something. Your conduct will show the lost world who you are. I mean, let me put it like David. David in Psalms 15:2, David talks about the citizen of Zion. We talk about Zion all the time. We sing songs of Zion. Okay? But David tells you how a citizen of Zion will live. He said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Okay? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. That's how you live. So we live kingdom now, right now. Does that describe you? How about this one? Psalms 24. He said, earth is the Lord's, in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell there. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established in it upon its floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. I love when folks know them. They don't even have to look at the Bible. They be like, yeah, know that one. Sister Washington showed us that. Hebrews gets on it too. I want y'all to get to heaven. That's our job. That's our call. That's our duty, is to preach you guys into the kingdom. Give you this spiritual decon so you can take it back to your children, take it back to your loved ones, take it back to your cousins and your aunties and uncles, and tell them you need to get a personal relationship with the Lord. Explain to them clearly Luke 23 and ask them to repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Not too late. Listen, Hebrews 12:14, he says, follow peace with all men in holiness. Why? Without which no man shall see the Lord. You're not taking your unholy self to heaven. Okay? You're just not. So deal with that unholiness. Ask God, God, give me strength. I'm unholy. I'm doing some stuff right now. If you pull back the curtain of my life, you would turn your head, because you can't look at sin. Do you have conflict? See, Jesus said that the man of God, the woman of God, is truly saved. Listen to me, young people, because we don't like conflict. See, we want to be Mr. and Miss Congeniality. We want everybody to love us. We want to be the homecoming queen, and we want to be the prom queen. Listen, let me tell you, son, you're going to get some conflict.
Amen.
That's what you're going to get. When you come to the Lord, you're going to get some conflict. Because that old demon don't want to move. He don't want to leave. And like God, the Bible says, Jesus, God is a jealous God. Satan is a jealous God too, little G. He's not happy when you start reading the scriptures and you start talking different and walking different and dressing different and start evaluating the things that you say and do. Satan don't like it. What's wrong with you?
Amen.
You done got the Holy Spirit, and them fruits start popping up on you. Get you some conflict. Listen, you want to be blessed? I'm blessed. We talk about it all the time. I'm blessed. Everybody's blessed. Let me tell you this. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of God. See, we talk about blessings, you know. Oh, girl, I was at Walmart and the cashier didn't charge me for something. Oh, I was blessed. Get a new car. And you know, you get something new and I'm blessed. Let me say something about cars. Cars ain't blessings. See, Deacon, I'm listening. Blessings don't come with payment books. You know, if you're really blessed, you walk over to Greenwood Chevy and just walk up in there and say, I'm here to see the general manager because God said he got a car for me. And the general manager come out and give you a key, say, that one right there is yours. And you just get in and ride away. Now you've been blessed. Well, you know, when you're sitting in front of the sales manager for 3 hours working out a deal, you're trying to get under $300. That ain't no blessing. That ain't no blessing. I hope I'm helping somebody. Listen. You're going to be compassionate. Here's a good one. Compassion. Because honestly, I think the church has lost its compassion. Honestly. You know what? I know let me tell you something. When a preacher says that you don't have to go to church to be saved or to go to heaven, that's not compassion. You think you feel making them folks feel good? You're not. Okay, you're not. You're not helping them. You're not helping nobody when you tell them that it doesn't mean nothing to go to church. It means something to go to church. And I really want it to mean something to go here. And I labor at that with these folks. You know, then don't worry about it. Don't y'all worry. The pastor don't need no raise. The pastor doing well. Okay? We're gonna build this church. Your job ain't to build me. Okay? We're gonna build this church. Blessed are the merciful. I like this. Because it moves into what we're talking about. Blessed are the merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. Now, see, we talk about being blessed. Are you merciful? Have you come to the understanding that it was because of God's mercy that you're saved? It was God's mercy that saved you. Now, how can you not be merciful? You ought to be looking for mercy. You ought to be out looking for mercy every day. God, one of your prayers should be every morning. God, I want to be merciful.
Amen.
I want to be merciful. I want to show you how thankful I am for you being merciful to me. And you know, when I think about mercy, I think about generosity and compassion and all that. Think about this. Here's Job. Here's one of the great men of the Bible. Wealthy, probably one of the wealthiest men in the Bible. Here's what Job had to say in Job 29 and 15. I thought this was just fantastic because it just leads us where we're going today. Job said this. He says, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. You're talking about mercy. You're talking about compassion. You're talking about kindheartedness. You're talking about sympathy and concern. All this you find here. He says this. The blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. How about that? You know, widows in those days would struggle. They didn't have much. You didn't have a husband. You didn't have a son. You was considered a widow. Okay? But Job said, I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. What Job was saying, I use my resources. I use my resources. I use all that God gave me to help folks. He said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem, a crown. Look at verse 15. He said, I was eyes to the blind. And feet was I to the lame. He said, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out, and I break the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Job was a man of passion and concern and care, and he used it. See, sometimes I'll go to the gym. I go to get on the machine, and it'll have a sign on it, out of order, out of service. You know, sometimes you'll go somewhere, and you want to use something. It's not, it's down. It's not working now. You go to the amusement park, the ride is down. See, some of our faith is down. It's down. See, it's down. We say we got faith. We say we got mercy. But it's just not working right now. Okay? See, James said faith without works is dead. See, some of us, we got faith, and really we got works, but it's just not working now. It's just not plugged in. Okay? See, what Jesus is trying to say to these disciples, he said, listen, you got to get deep into this thing. Because we say we have all these things, and we say we are loving, and we care, and we don't want to say no. We pity pat around. We don't want to say no. We don't want discipline. We don't want any type of consequences for our behaviors. We want to do what we want to do. And Jesus is saying, that ain't how it works in the kingdom.
Right.
In the kingdom. Let's look at this fourth illustration. I know I went a long way around to get there. But this fourth illustration. He says in verse 42 of Matthew 5, he said, give to him that asks, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now what's Jesus talking about here? See, we got to understand we were still under the law. And in Deuteronomy 15 and 1 through 14, talk about the year of Jubilee. Well, the year of Jubilee talks about that 7 years. Every 7 years, all debts were just considered wiped off. You got a clean slate. So now, if Ben Madison and Minister Bryant, we don't own a bank, we're not loaning you nothing in the 6 year. You're going to go broke and you're going to starve. We're not loaning you nothing past the third year. And that's what folks was doing. Uh-huh. Folks was starving and they had serious needs. Now, this is not just talking about being careless and foolish with your money and giving every Tom, Dick, and Harry whatever they ask for. You're not helping folks. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about people with a serious need. Okay? See, some folks, you know, all the power go off, but they cell phone bill $200. And they need money to get their electric turned on, but... Okay? We're not talking about that. We're not talking about somebody who's strong and able and can go out there and work, just don't want to do nothing.
Amen. Right? Amen.
We got a generation of folks don't want to do nothing.
Amen.
I was coming up... We were shoveling snow, raking leaves, cutting grass. I was catching night crawlers. Kept me some money. Now you had a fight with your kids to take the trash out.
Come on now.
Got to remind them. Well, Jesus is saying, listen, we ought to be givers. Why is he saying this, though? And I'm going to move from this because they're just a radical giving because Jesus was all about giving. The very fact that you're sitting here saved is because Jesus was a radical giver. He was a giver. And when he talked about giving, these folks was like, I can't give like that. Not on your own power. But if you truly a man or woman of God who say you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will be a giver. That's why these charlatans and these pulpit hustlers can work the church over. Uh-huh. They can work the church over because they have degrees in psychology and philosophy, and they work in you. Because they know if you've truly been saved, you ought to be a giver.
Amen.
And they can get in your pockets. I don't have a degree in psychology.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Listen. We have a, you know, when you Google some of this stuff and talk about loaning money. And you heard all of us heard that. You never loan money to family. All of us in here heard that. You know, one guy said, there's three rules about loaning money. He said, don't lend money to family and friends. Don't lend money to family and friends. And don't lend money to family and friends. Another guy said, most stress is caused by three things: family, money, and family with no money. So I look at that stuff. That's not biblical. That's not how God, that's not God's way. But again, I'm not saying to be foolish. Okay? I'm not saying that. If my pockets would fill up, if everybody paid me the money back they owe me. Okay? We could all go out to dinner. Listen, why was Jesus talking about giving? Why was he talking about giving in such a radical way? Because that's radical. Why? Because the Word of God is just filled with giving. Let me give you a couple illustrations of giving. Here's one that I really love. Proverbs 19 and 17. You guys have heard this. It says, he that hath pity on the poor, lendeth unto God, and that which he hath given will he pay him back. God will pay you back.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Man, wouldn't it be nice if God owed you? Wouldn't it be nice if God owed you? And you can go to God in prayer and say, and knowing that God owes you, that son or daughter, life could be turned around by you being a giver. A giver. Now notice the Word of God not talking about giving money. Okay?
Amen.
He's not talking about giving money. He's talking about the giving of himself or herself.
Amen.
Listen, James 1:27. Pure religion, holy religion, righteous religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You need to visit somebody. And when you visit somebody, take them something. Take them something. I used to visit my grandmother when I was a young boy, and I would visit my grandmother. And I know she drank Maxwell House coffee. And my grandmother would always have a setting. She would always have two settings on her table. Two. She had a setting over here, setting over here. And I first time I said, Grandma, who's that setting for? That's for the Lord. She said, that's for the Lord. And I would bring her a can of Maxwell House coffee, and she would say, thank you, Lord. She wouldn't thank me. I didn't understand. She would say, thank you, Lord. And I like hearing that. And I would bring her something every time I visited her. Because I wanted to hear her say, thank you, Lord. God was radical in his giving. Look at Zacchaeus. Y'all remember the story. Zacchaeus. I love Zacchaeus. Y'all hear me talk about the Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree so many times. Listen. Because it's radical giving. And see, when you give to people, when you give and you are forgiving, it's a true sign of your salvation. You want to know if you're truly saved. You just ask yourself, what kind of giver am I? What kind of giver am I? And again, we're not just talking about finances. Just giving of yourself, your time, resources, money, that all adds into it. But are you truly a giver?
Amen.
Since Jesus entered into Jericho, Luke 19 and 1, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. I like that. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Probably wanted to see who he was because he already heard Matthew had been saved and delivered and had walked away from his tax business. And a lot of publicans and tax collectors had been saved. So Zacchaeus wanted to see who he was. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. Little Jew guy. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, them sycamore trees was designed to hide you. Nobody would have noticed Zacchaeus in this tree. Okay? Nobody knew he was in this tree. Oh, listen now. When Jesus came to the place, the Bible said he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at the house. Now he had to make a decision now. He could have stayed in the tree. See, some of us that heard that, we said, well, I'm going to stay in this tree, because I know if you come to my house, and see all them number slips, all them Ohio lottery things, and all them movies and videos, and God forbid if you open up my private viewer on my internet. I'm going to stay in this tree right now, Jesus. And when Jesus, I read that already, came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in your house. I'm coming to check things out. Look what Zacchaeus said in verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him. How? Joyfully. Man, listen, let me tell you, son, it's a good thing when that sin, you have an opportunity to allow that sin to leave yourself. That's a blessing. Zacchaeus was joyful. He was happy because he knew that he was in a place where he could have that sin taken away from him. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. And some of y'all there today, some of y'all sitting right here, you're hearing the word of God, you have an opportunity to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Y'all have, let it go. You're holding on to something that's dragging you down. And you have an opportunity to let it go. And when he saw it, Jesus, they all murmured. That's your people's. They're going to murmur now. You walk back up into to Austintown Fitch or Liberty or the Girard or Campbell, wherever you're going to school, and you walk there tomorrow and say, you know what? Done. I made haste. I've been delivered. I ain't lying no more. I ain't stealing no more. I ain't cussing no more. I ain't fornicating no more. And they're going to murmur. Uh-huh. What's wrong with her? Who she thinks she is or who he think he is? Yeah. And they're going to try to convince you that Jesus is a fool. And you are a fool for believing him. Uh-huh. But you know what? Zacchaeus stood. Now why he stood? Because he was on his face. He stood and said unto the Lord, not to the people, to the Lord. He said, behold, Lord, the half my goods I give to the poor. How about that? He said, half of them I give to the poor. Somebody said, why did he give all of them to the poor? Keep on reading. He said, I can't give all of it to the poor. If I could, I would. He said, I would give it all to the poor because I don't want to touch it no more. And then he says this, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The law said he had to pay it back twofold. He said, I'll pay him back double, and I'm going to give the rest to the poor because I don't need it no more. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Come to this house, for so much he is also a son of Abraham.
Amen.
And then Jesus gives his purpose. And the purpose of you hearing this message today, Jesus gives his purpose. He said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
That's which was lost. That's why Christ has come. And that's why we're reading this word and preaching this gospel to you. And if we preach anything else, shame on us.
Amen.
And then shame on you for listening.
Amen.
Shame on you. You have a right to walk up out of here.
Amen.
If the gospel is not preached.
Amen.
God's radical gift. Let me close. I got a lot of pages left. But let me close. God is radical in his giving. You know, when Jesus came into the world was in turmoil. It was in turmoil. And it was under the wrath of God. You see, all men were in a hopeless position. Hopeless. Without hope. That's why we look at this world now. When you look at everybody worrying about Hillary, worrying about Donald, worrying about Bernie, worrying about Ted Cruz, they're not solving none of your problems.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You can protest. You can burn flags. You can march all the way back and forth to Selma. There ain't one person that's going to help you, that's going to be able to save your soul.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Listen. Look at how radical. This is radical. This is the most radical giving you're going to find in the Word of God. It says this. It says, for God so loved the world.
Amen.
This radical stuff. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
How about that? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Everlasting life. That's radical.
Amen.
That's radical. You know why it's radical? Because if you go to Mecca, and you go there, and right on the mosque, the big mosque, that says, Allah has no sons. Okay? There's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's radical. That's, you know what Paul says? Paul said, he talks about this radical love. He says this. He said, but God, Romans 5:8, commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us while we was out there getting high and drinking and fornicating and lying and stealing. God was dying for us. God was dying for us. God was dying for us when we was out of our minds. You know, I tell this story. I used to golf. And every once in a while, I would swing too hard. And I hit that golf ball so far in the woods. It wouldn't make no sense to look for, especially if you were down south and they had snakes up in there. And what Isaiah 53 is saying, that's how we was. We was like that golf ball that was just shanked so bad up into the woods. Nobody was going to find it. And Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Oh, listen, folks. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us. Oh, my goodness. Let me give you one more. Dave Dunleavy sent me an email yesterday. He was somewhere visiting something. Lord had him out doing something. So he sent me this picture of an Indian thing with feathers all the way down. Use that illustration. I used it before. Paul said, I was chief. Paul said, I was chief sinner. Paul would have had feathers all the way down because he did so much wrong. But God saved him. And Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy, saved me. But in 1 Timothy 1:16, listen to what Paul says. Because he understood mercy. When you receive mercy, Deacon Johnson, when you receive mercy, and I know you have, I heard your testimony. When you receive mercy, you understand mercy. And you can be merciful. When I see a person that's not merciful, I know one thing for certain, two things for sure. That person has not received mercy.
Amen.
And I know that's hard. That's true. When you realize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, you understand mercy. When you understand that while you are yet sinners, Christ died for you, you understand mercy. When you read 2 Corinthians 5 and 15, it says that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You understand mercy.
Amen.
You understand mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. You understand mercy when the writer of Hebrews says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. When you understand those scriptures, and this is why you have to be scriptural, you understand mercy. You understand mercy. And Paul understood mercy. Paul says, he said, how be it for this cause? 1 Timothy 1:16. How be it for this cause? He said, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And then he did a benediction. I'm not doing a benediction right now. I know y'all may say he couldn't really do a benediction. But Paul just said this in verse 17. He said, but now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, how do I get that power? How do I get it? I would be wrong if I finished without saying, letting you know how to get this.
Amen.
You need to know how to get it.
Amen.
And understand this is, you know, we are caught up in March Madness. They start off with 64, they go down to 32, they go down to 16, they go down to 8, they go down to 4, they go down to 2, and then they finally get a victory. But you know what? In March Madness, you can play a great game and still lose.
Uh-huh.
But see, as Caleb was singing, we have the victory. We can't lose. We can actually play a bad game and still win because we already won because we have the victory.
Amen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. How do I get this power you're talking about, Pastor? Because it sounds good. And honestly, Isaiah 40, listen, verse 28. Because I'm going to show you how to get this power. Because young people need it. Old folks need it. And let me say this to young people. Fool around if you want. The older you get, the harder it is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on.
Uh-huh.
Listen, the older you get, the longer you stay in sin, the longer you lying and drinking and cussing and stealing and fornicating, the longer you stay in sin, the harder it is to come out.
Amen.
Okay? I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that. Some of us know.
Amen.
You know, when you somebody say, once you're 25 and get saved, that's a miracle.
Uh-huh.
That's a miracle. Okay? You're looking at a miracle.
Amen.
God saved me.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
You may not have, you may, God may not be able to deal with you. He may turn you over to reprobate mind. Because
yeah.
These young folks got some stuff we ain't have.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Y'all get stuff instantly.
Uh-huh.
We have to turn the pages and stuff. Y'all just go flip it. It's on. You in your sin.
Come on.
Well, I need that power, Pastor. I'm going to give it to you. Isaiah 40 and 29. 28, you say, has thou not known?
Yeah.
Huh? Y'all have these excuses.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to leave you without excuse.
Yeah.
That's my job. Right? You're not going to say, well, the bald-headed preacher that I was under didn't preach the gospel. You won't lie on me.
Yeah.
You won't use me for your excuse.
Yeah.
Listen, has thou not known? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not.
Yes.
Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I'm going to help somebody. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Well, Pastor, I don't have no might. Right now I'm dealing with some things. Right now I'm struggling with some things. Listen. He giveth power to the faint. How do I get it? Get on your knees.
Amen.
Get on your knees and say, Lord, give me power. Give me wonder-working power.
Amen.
To deal with this thing. Because it's bigger than me. It's stronger than me. It's more powerful than me. But it's not more powerful than the God we serve.
Amen.
It's not. It's not. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fail.
Yeah.
Utterly fail. All our young men are utterly failing.
Yeah,
okay? The one boy they found in the street was 23. The one on the south side this morning was 23. That's young man.
Yeah.
That's two more men taken out of the equations. Two more men that black women won't have to offer themselves as their wives. Two more. Gone. 23. And in 6 or 7 years, most of the young men in here will be 23 or 24. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let me tell you something, folks. God will give you the power to mount up. To mount up and to run and not get weary. Folks will tell me all the time. They say, don't you get tired? You're working. You drive an hour to work, an hour back. You're teaching Bible study and Sunday school. And you're preaching every Sunday. You're preaching every Sunday night. Listen, tell you something. I'm not operating on my own strength. Okay? If I was operating on my own strength, I'd have been shut it down. Okay? I've been shut it down. You know, I am operating on the Lord's strength.
That's right.
And you can't do God's work on your own strength. Amen. You can sit up here and play, but you can't do ministry without the Holy Ghost, amen, without the power of God working in your life.
Amen.
Now, ask God, I say, God, I want to mount up. I want to mount up. I want to serve you. I want to be powerful for you. Listen, I may not have, but 5, 10, 15 years ago, I want to serve you. I want to serve you until the day I die. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the ability to hear. Thank you for waking us up this morning with a mind to come to the house of God. And then thank you, Lord, for using the scriptures to confront me, to get up in my business, to chastise me, to call me to accountability, to call me to a place where I really have, based on what I've heard, I have to make a decision. I have to make a decision whether I'm going to continue to serve the devil or I'm going to give my life to the Lord and I'm going to serve him with everything I have. Father, I thank you that you got in my business and you got in my face and you called me out. You checked me when I didn't want to be checked. And you called me when I didn't want to be called. But you said, listen, you need to make a choice. Because I may not call you no more. This may be the last time. This may be the last time you hear God's word. This may be the last time you have a decision. You have an opportunity to make a decision for Jesus. This may be. You don't know the word of God. Say today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart.
Amen.
Come to the Lord while he can be found. Because nighttime comes, no man can work, no man can find him. Father, thank you in advance. Thank you for souls that are here. Thank you for everybody here that's saved and know you. Thank you for everybody right now here, Father God, that's saved and going through. Let them realize that the word of God said many are the afflictions of the righteous. And don't let nobody tell you because you're going through, you ain't saved. Amen. Blessed are they that are persecuted. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. We in the suffering business. You either suffering, getting ready to suffer, or just stop suffering. You're suffering. Suffering world. Don't let the charlatans fool you that you can live your best life now. You can't. The best life comes after this one.
Amen.
And this one's going to be rough. God promise you that.
Uh-huh.
Father, thank you for everything. In Jesus' name.